In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I think Lord's let me share with you before an experience had one year at Falls Creek with the church that I was pastoring and the young people that we had taken there. And some of the girls got real serious about the spiritual relationship of those that were in our group, in our cabin. And so it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. There was a knock on the door of the boys' dorm, and one of the girl sponsors was asking, said that we need to see you in a minute. And I said, just wait a minute. And I made myself presentable and opened the door and thought maybe somebody got real sick and needed to take somebody home. She said, the girls are very serious about the spiritual relationship of everyone camp. And I looked at her and I said, couldn't this wait till in the morning? It's 1 o'clock. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And she said, they want to talk about that. And I said, well, all right. I said, if they want to, and they wanted me to be in there. And I said, okay, we'll go out here in the dining area and do that. She said, oh, she wants all the boys in there. I thought for a moment. I said, it took me a while to get all those boys asleep. Now you want me to wake them up again and get them out there? And so we did and got them out there, and everybody was out there. And so they wanted each one, this one girl that was really concerned about it, to share really their testimony of how they trusted Christ. And so as she did that and explained what was going on, and she wanted to start at this end, and she said, now, before we start, I don't want you repeating what the last one said. Most of the times you get in the testimonies and they'll repeat what the last one said or similar to that. And said, I want it to be genuine in your heart. Well, Lord moved in that in a mighty way, and we had some that were saved because of that, and praise God for it. And some that had some good testimonies that they really hadn't given before because they always said what the last person said and thought that was good enough in that light. When we think about the testimony of Jesus, sometimes we get into the point of, what happened when I was saved? And tell that experience, and you need to share that, all right. But then what has God done for you today? We need to hear some of those testimonies. There's different types of testimonies you can have. There are different types of testimony about our Lord and Savior that people give on them. Here we find in Revelation where God has shared with us not only what he has done, but what he's doing now and what he plans to do. And close to the close of this book, we have this experience with John and how that it is mentioned the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. As I said earlier, I'm preaching to the choir. You've been here through the prophecy. Many of you desired to have a series on that and wanted it and prayed for it, and which God has given us that opportunity to look at it and the joy of knowing what God has done, what he's doing now, and what he plans to do. And we have that in there. Why is it the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus? Well, you know, in that you are not serving a religion or a philosophy. You're not serving a theology. You have a desire to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is very much alive. We're not those who serve a storybook Christ. For without the spirit of prophecy, then Jesus is just a storybook figure. Something you talk about in the yesteryears of time. And though we need to know what he did in the yesteryears of time, but also we need to realize what he's doing now. That's prophecy. Man, that's great. It's exciting to see all that's going on and what's happening now, and you sharing that, and I praise God for you in doing so. And I believe tonight God is having me to bring this out to encourage you, because we get caught up in all of the different things, and we know what God is doing. We get excited about it. But then we get caught up in those who might differ with us a little bit. And we're not all crossing the same T or dotting the same I. And that begins to take the forefront. We'll just pull back off a little bit and enjoy the reality of what God has revealed to us and what God is doing now and what he plans to do in the future. There's a good example of all of this. First of all, let's look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, we find the events at the time of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Man, what a day that was. What an exciting day it could have been. But it wasn't, because those that were involved close to Jesus at that time did not see the importance of understanding prophecy. And because they did not understand that or wouldn't get involved in it, though they didn't question it, it wasn't they didn't believe it, they just didn't know when it would happen or what would happen, and they really didn't want to know the details of it. But it would happen sometime or another. And so they missed the first exciting part of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. They weren't there. They should have been there. Man, what a service they could have had if they had understood the teachings of the Old Testament and understood what Jesus said. But when Jesus told them about what he was going to do and what would happen, that just went over their heads, because they did not dwell on those particular scriptures of the Old Testament. And so now Jesus is alive. The women had had experience at the tomb, and their attitude about the women is still the same attitude that a lot of people have today. They just, that's second class, and we don't fool with that. They don't know what they're talking about. I got news for you. Some of you men and some of the men around need to hang their head in shame. Most women know more about scriptures than you do, and you need to be the spiritual leader in the church. Amen. We need to come back to that place of leadership, not by force, but because of how we are faithful to God and doing what he wants us to do. And so the women came back to the disciples to tell them about what had happened. Look at Luke 24 and verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. This is talking about the women. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord. Now, they were not expecting Jesus to be alive. This was a shock to them. But they were wanting to finish the burial process, which they were not able to do on Thursday. And now they go there, and in verse 4, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's a strange question, they probably thought. What do you mean, seeking the living among the dead? He died on the cross. He is not here, verse 6, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered the words. Well, yeah, he did say that, but not that they doubted that. They just didn't. Maybe that third day were 3,000 years. And somewhere out there, but just didn't do it. We're still doing that today as to what God is doing right now. But you know, and you see as you study prophecy, that it reveals the resurrected Christ. And so in verse 9, they return from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Here was an exciting event, a fantastic event. I mean, we tried to imitate that down through the years. When it comes time that we want to celebrate with the world what we call Easter, or the recognizing the resurrection of Christ, which we do every Sunday. Every first day of the week when we worship, we're recognizing the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Every time we tithe, we're recognizing the resurrection of our Lord as the first fruits. Oh my, what an exciting thing. Everything we do, as we look at it, and what God would have us to do, is emphasizing we serve a living, risen Savior. Isn't it exciting to be in the Lord's house on the first day of the week? Now, the world's trying to take that away from us. Be careful about this. They're trying to change the calendar. They're wanting Monday to be the first day of the week. They're moving the terms Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're moving the word Saturday to the last day and put it at the end of the week. Now, that's not going to be a problem with most Christians, because most Christians think that Sunday is the Sabbath. And Sunday's not the Sabbath. I tell you, I have a hard time convincing a lot of church people that Sunday is not the Sabbath. Saturday's the Sabbath. And every church that I've pastored, they want to have a work day on Saturday. I said, that's the day to rest. give me some slack here in that. You see, Sunday's the first day, and we meet on the first day of the week. Well, we try to force everybody to honor the first day, thinking that it's a Sabbath and you're not to work, so we don't want any business to be open. We'd like to have the blue law passed and just, that so everybody would do that. And don't you make your employees work on Sunday. Get them a day off. No, that's the wrong thing to do. The joy, the thrill of actually being able to sacrifice has been robbed from us, stolen from us. We've lost that part, and we need to get it back. That first day of the week is a regular work day for the world, and every Christian is to sacrifice that day because they serve a living, risen Savior that was raised on the first day of the week. That's exciting and thrilling. Well, if they change Monday to the first day of the week, are we still going to worship on the Sabbath or the first day of the week? You know, we don't stop to think about that, because we don't stop to realize all that we do is a testimony to our Lord and Savior. And every now and then we have to remind ourselves, just what am I doing? And how is this reflecting who I say that I love and that I serve? Prophecy puts that in the proper perspective. The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy, realizing that we serve Him on the first day of the week, recognizing His resurrection. Well, these men, that wasn't even close to their minds. And their attitude was, when you talked about a miracle of God, that the women were just mad. They were in idle tales. Well, when you get away from prophecy and you experience a miracle of God, you're going to have a hard time recognizing it and accepting it for just exactly what it is. If you don't understand it, you'll scratch your head like others and say, yeah, that's a work of God, and pass it off as that. When you're involved in prophecy, you understand why that was done and why God wanted it done, and you understand it as a miracle of God. Isn't that thrilling when you can do that? Isn't it thrilling when you can just turn on the news when you can find some news? Most of it are commentaries, and they don't really give the news. They give their opinion of it. But when you can find the news, the pure news on it, it's exciting and thrilling to see how it is exactly what God said would happen and why it's coming about because of the prophecy of God's word. And so that's an exciting time. And it's thrilling to live today. Some people said, man, this is a bad time. No, it's a great time because we're seeing the things that God said would happen are happening. And they're happening because it has a definite purpose. And so in knowing this, then we have an opportunity to testify of our Lord that he's alive, he's in charge, and he knows what he's doing. And we can see that and work in it. Man, what a joy. These fellows, they're having a hard time with that. Then in verse 12, but then arose Peter and ran to the sepulcher, and stooping down, well, Peter and John actually did this, but here it says Peter, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Now you talk about two people that ought to be excited and walking down the road and said, man alive, our Lord is alive. The women saw him. They saw it or didn't see him. They heard the angels talk about it, and the tomb is empty. No, that wasn't their attitude. Look at it. It says, and verse 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together, and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said to them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? Now, when Jesus had identified these fellows of what they were doing, he said, what's the matter? Why are you sad? He knew who they were. He knew what went on. Well, that part, and they were sad, just identifies their Baptists. I mean, Baptists can see the work of God and complain about everything that's going on. We're not happy about anything in that. Oh my, when we are involved in prophecy, we testify of a living, risen Savior, and we know what God is doing, and it's an exciting time. It's exciting to see souls saved. Not that we're saying, oh my goodness, another one went down, we'll be here another 10 minutes. I'm going to miss out on getting into the restaurant. It'll take me longer to get in. And we got all other kinds. I've got things to do this afternoon. What happened to us? We got away from the prophecy of what God is doing. The joy and the excitement to be able to sing the hymns that just lift our hearts up in praise to God and to challenge our hearts to be faithful to him. And as Mel kind of questioned about the first song in his prayer about where we surrender all to him and where we make him our Lord of all things. We need to be challenged with that and see where we are and remind ourselves we need to be closer than what we are now. We need to realize that we're serving a living, risen Savior who's coming back again. It's an exciting time. Well, what were they sad about? And so verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Now that ought to have been an exciting conversation and one of being positive. He's alive. Now remember, these two came from the group that heard the women. These two came from the group that have watched him heal the blind, caused the lame to walk, saw him walk on the water. I mean, they've been with Jesus. But then they saw him crucified, and that was the end of it all. When if they'd understood prophecy, man, they could have had a service at that cross that would have been just unbelievable. I mean, souls could have been brought in and talk about the love of God, of Jesus up there on that cross, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Oh, there's so much that could be involved in that. But he said, have you not heard about that which of Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet and mighty indeed and word before God and all the people? And how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. So now these men are not ignorant, or pardon me, let me say, they know what has happened. They're fully aware that Jesus was crucified. And who was involved in this, which is everything that Jesus did was according to the scriptures. But they hadn't connected the dots. Verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. That he was to redeem Israel. The purpose, but they missed it, though it came out of their mouths. And that this is the third day. That's an important issue. And yet, it didn't mean a thing to them because they did not understand prophecy. In verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a visions of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. I said, well, even two of our brethren went out there to check this out, and sure enough, the tomb was empty, but they didn't see Jesus anywhere. They weren't saying that these two went up there to prove that the women were right in that he was alive. It's just that they were right in that he wasn't there. The idea that Jesus was alive was far from them, and they were sad. Now, we try to get in our services, and we need to really hire, and we just about do now today, hire cheerleaders to lead us. And we want to get everybody emotionally excited and cheered up just like you would at a football game. Now, I've attended a lot of football games because members of my church were there, and I would go and honor them and be there, and I didn't care to be involved in any of the cheerleading going on. In fact, I didn't like all the cheerleading, especially the way the girls were dressed and that. I thought that was inappropriate, and there being a pastor, but I'd be sitting there, and sometimes I would be close to the band or close to where this was going on with the rest of the students and be visiting with some of the members. And after a while, I'd get caught up in that cheerleading and find myself doing those cheers when really that wasn't me. I got caught up in the emotions. And so today we're trying to get people caught up in the emotions of our service when it's not really them. What's going to get you excited about a song? What's going to get you excited about the service and about what's going on is when you realize you serve a living, risen Savior. Amen? And you know what he's doing now, and it's exciting to see what he's doing and all that's going on. Well, verse 25, Jesus changes the whole picture now. Then said he unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ooh. Those are harsh words coming from Jesus. Now, I could understand Peter maybe saying that, or one of the other apostles. But Jesus said, O fools. And another passage where we have in Matthew, where Jesus talks about the matter of and calling us hypocrites if we know more about the weather than what we know about what God is doing today. than we know about prophecy. And he said, you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the sayings concerning him. Jesus gave them a quick course on prophecy, quoting the scriptures and how this was fulfilled and that was fulfilled, and he did this according to this scripture and he did that according to that scripture. And what was the result of this? Now, they left the group to go back to Emmaus. They were sad and discouraged. Now they begin to change. And notice verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village where they were, where they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. You don't need to be out on the road now. You need to come in, and you need to stay here with us. It's safer here. And rightly so it was. If you're trusting the world, it's very dangerous in that life. And Jesus did, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. They knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, we're going to understand what happened when Jesus taught him about prophecy. Now, remember up in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. As they walked along, he was explaining what God had done and what he did with Jesus and what he was doing that day. He was explaining to them and reminding them of prophecy. How did they feel about that? Well, let's look at that now. In verse 34, let's see. I'm up to verse 32, yeah. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our heart burn within us? Didn't you feel that excitement, that thrill of knowing that the scriptures is God's holy word? We're not just to honor it because it's something sacred we have in our tabernacle or in our temple. A lot of people honor the Bible because that's what we use in church. My grandmother, if she had the Bible on her coffee table, you did not put anything on the Bible. I mean, you didn't lay a magazine on there. You didn't do anything else on that. That's a holy book. But she didn't read it that much. It was holy because that's what she was taught, and that's what was used in the church. Many of us still have that same attitude. Unless you understand prophecy, then this book is alive. As much as Jesus is alive. It's not limited to one year or the other year. It's not something to deal with the past and limited to that time in which God gave it for man to pin down on the paper for us. It's alive and it applies every day of our life. It's effective now, will be tomorrow, and will be for all of eternity. And when you understand prophecy, you not only fall deeper in love with your Lord and Savior who's alive, but the word burns. Your heart just burns with joy and excitement and thrill. And it wakens you to get your life right with God. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Oh, I can face tomorrow. How does the song go? I can face tomorrow because he lives. The more I know about prophecy, the greater assurance I have of all that's going on in this, what we would consider a crazy world. Man, as I've listened to the reports of the hurricanes of Harvey and this last one and another one followed behind that, and how we had never had anything like this before. This is astonishing. I mean, no records compare with this. And everything has just seemed to be crazy. No, it's not crazy. It's exactly what God said would happen and would be in this day in which we are alive now. Man, it's exciting to know that, to realize it. And when it is a reality, not just a knowledge, but a reality in our heart, then that's going to show that the reason why we know that is because we serve the one who's in control. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is alive. He's alive. Don't you realize that? He's alive. And He's coming back. And that could be today. Praise God for that. The joy, the excitement, the thrill of knowing my Lord and Savior. Not only that He died for me, but He was buried and raised again the third day. And He left me with a complete book of all that I need to know that's alive and excites my soul and my heart. Do you feel that way? Are you excited about God's Word? It could be you need to get a little bit more involved in what He tells us to know. To know who we really serve. And then as we do this, I like that song, In the Garden. We don't sing that anymore unless somebody sings a special. I get my wife to sing it every now and then because it just thrills my soul. How did we come to the garden? Talking about really what Mary did and going to the garden where Jesus, the tomb of Christ was, and the victory that was there, and realized that she had victory instead of defeat. And in the song, it talks about how that we would like to stay in the garden with Him while the dew is still on the roses. It's a joy to walk with our Lord. It's a joy to sit at His feet and to learn about His creation, to learn about all the things that we wonder about more than what a child would. And to have that knowledge, that's a joy. But in that song, the last verse, it said, but He bids me go through the voice of woe. And when we get excited about the Lord, He says, now go and tell the world. The testimony. That means we tell somebody else. The testimony. That means we share with the world. And what a joy it is. I was kind of a little worried about coming to this part of my life, getting to that part where I'm not running down the aisles anymore. I take a little longer time to get to another place and limit some of my actions and my deeds, but can I still witness? Can I tell others? Well, I know I could tell those around me and do that and live the life that God had me live. But it's exciting to serve a God that goes far beyond that. He's opened the doors for me to witness to more in this time than what I've done all of my life. And He will with you. When you know that He is a living, risen Savior, He'll lead you into areas that you never dreamed that you could be in to witness, to let a lost, dying world know that there's hope. The only hope, and that's in our Lord and Savior, an anchor of our soul. Will you let Him use you with that testimony of Jesus, which is a spirit of prophecy? God spoke into your heart. It could be that you need to get a little more involved in what you have been in the study of God's Word. It could be that you need to reestablish your relationship with the living, risen Savior, that He's alive. He's not a theology or a religion. He's a person. that's alive and coming by. Let God fill your heart with that joy that it'll bubble over and you want to tell everybody and share it with everybody and every opportunity that God gives you. God has spoken to your heart. Will you make a decision that God's placed on Him? May we stand and as we have a word of prayer and prepare for our invitation.